Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I was looking up something for a different topic recently. I was looking up what was the exact definition of fraud. One of those definitions deals with the criminal deception for personal or financial gain. But the second part of that definition is a person or thing intended to deceive others, typically by unjustifiably claiming or being credited with accomplishments or qualities. That got me thinking a little bit about creativity in a strange sort of way, because there's times in my own creative process and my own creative practice where I felt, at least in my own conversation in my head, like I was a fraud, like I was a sham or a charlatan, and somehow I did not have any of the skills or the process in my own creative practices and my own photography that somehow should have been ascribed or credited in my own head or by others giving me those assumptions or credits. That got me thinking about why is it and what is the importance of understanding fraud in the creative practice? Because the truth is, when I look at my own creativity and when you look at your own creativity, there are definitely things that you do know. There are things that you have acquired either through training, there's things you acquired through practice, there's things you acquired by just doing and learning. So those things that you know are really critical to your own process. They define in some ways what you're able to do and also give you a beacon of ways to go forward. Because I think one of the things a lot of us seek out in our photography and in our creative lives and in creative living is a way for us to move forward and discover things that we don't yet know. And we use our resources we have and the knowledge we've already acquired to help us do that. I think there's also knowledge of things that we can do. So one of the things that I've realized is a lot of my photography are things that I know I could do if I had to, because I have a certain set of skills that I've acquired. I have an understanding of lighting. I have an understanding of lighting ratios. I can go into a situation and figure it out. So I know I can do something. And that ability to figure something out comes from my experiences and my understanding. And then also I have a set of opinions of things that I believe, and some of my friends will tell you that I have mostly opinions, but they have a lot of opinions about things that, based on things that I've heard third party, things that I've read, things that I've assimilated, that I may not know to be true, but I believe they may be true. And through practice and through actual trial and error, I can discover whether those opinions are factual or not and are repeatable or not. So when it comes to looking at the nature of fraud, I got to looking at, I know certain things. I'm able to do certain things, but yet there are times where I still feel like I'm a fraud in my practice. What is it about that experience that I know isn't necessarily true, but why does that come up as a barrier and why does that come up as a roadblock? Because I think one of the things about a fraud is that in that definition is the intention to deceive others. And I think for a lot of us, the intention is never to deceive others, but it's our own ego. It's our own ability to think about deceiving ourselves and that we actually don't have the skills or the abilities that we believe we do. And that voice becomes so strong. And the use of the word fraud, I think for a lot of us, actually comes up in some manner, whether it claims that we're not, don't have those qualities, we don't have those elements, or in my case, I actually use the word fraud sometimes in my own inner monologue, is such a negative word that it becomes a real barrier, a real impediment to moving forward. I think the other piece about that is, particularly for photography, there's so much information out there now about photographers who have taken credit for photographs, they've stolen imagery, they've stolen techniques, they've stolen all sorts of stuff. We see that over and over again in the reporting of photography. We've seen it in competitions that have been fraudulently won. We see it in people talking about copyright violations. So I think there's also this notion of this idea that somebody else would take credit for somebody else's work that really for photographers makes this a stronger word. So you combine those, your own internal monologue, the external pressures, and I think this becomes a significant block potentially for people. Because one of the other things too is I think there's a reality in some level, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire is one of the old phrases, one of the old colloquialisms. And I think in some ways where there is potentially a problem, there might be a problem. And I know my own work, I think for me, this is what really, you know, hit home is one of the things I like to set up for myself in my creative practice is once a week for 3 hours, I set up some training time for myself. About 2 hours of that training time is a repeat of things I already know. So I'm reinforcing the skills that I already have, whether that be using a strobe, whether that be a certain Photoshop skill, whether that's just working the camera buttons. But I try to reinforce things I know. And then I spend an hour trying to push myself into learning something new. I think it's in that practice is where this started for me. Because one of the things I realized was coming back in to repeat things that I knew, things that I know how to do in Photoshop, things I know how to do with my camera. And I wouldn't necessarily remember how to do them. I would have to go back and look at notes. I'd have to look them up at a book. I'd have to watch a tutorial. But yet I could remember in my own mind that it was a skill I actually had. The reality of the way the process works for me is that I can only retain so much information. Now, I'm fortunate that I retain a lot of information, but there are things that if I don't use again and again and again, and I have never committed them to muscle memory. So certain things I do just have muscle memory. Even in my digital processing, there are things like creating an edge mask, a luminosity mask. There are certain things about overlay layers that I just know. I've done them so many times, I actually can do them. And even with the actions I've created, if I had to recreate the action from scratch, I could do it. I have muscle memory. When it comes to working in the darkroom, there's a lot of times I don't even need to set a clock. I've just done the action so many times, I just have a sense of how long something has lasted, how long that time has been. So that process of understanding those things, I think, leads to my notion of fraud in my own work, because I feel like the things that don't have muscle memory, when I come back to them and I have to relearn them, I feel like, oh my God, I've been skating on telling people I know this or skating on the fact that I believe I could do this. And the reality is I can't do it because I'm having to look it up. I think many people, though, in any other job, in any other practice, that's normal. If you talk to a doctor, if you talk to a lawyer, if you talk to an accountant, there are things they just have to look up. My accountant has to call me back a lot because I ask questions and she says, I need to look that up in the tax code to give you a correct answer. There are other times she just shoots back an answer almost immediately. And I asked her one day about that. And she said, oh, there are certain things I get asked all the time, so I just know them off the top of my head. And other more esoteric questions I have to look up because I can't memorize the tax code. My doctor's the same way. Sometimes she has to go look something up. She has to research what she needs to look at from certain test results. Lawyers are the same way. If you go into and look at what a lawyer needs to do, they have to look back at case law. They haven't memorized every single piece of case law ever. They have to go back and look that up. And yet in the creative practice, I was somehow taking that notion of the fact that I had learned something and forgotten it, or learned something and didn't have enough muscle memory to reapply it, that somehow made me a fraud in my creative practice, that it somehow made me taking claim for something that I didn't have. And I think that for me was the break in my creative practice was, and then this notion of what fraud was, the creative practice isn't about taking credit for the accomplishments of others. It's about the exploration of my own identity, society, topics that I'm taking on, topics that I'm choosing to explore, whether it be vintage aircraft, whether it be decay flowers in the forest, whether it be portraits of people in the street, whatever that is, that's an exploration of certain elements of society and myself as an individual as it relates to others. If I'm doing commercial work and I'm doing editorial work, those are specific assignments with specific goals from a client. Those types of projects, those types of elements create their own identity, their own sense of space. So really, as long as the creative practice doesn't have me misappropriating and taking credit for work that's not my own, is there really a fraud element in there? I don't think there is. I don't think there is this idea that our own creative practice can create a fraud because we forget something, because we don't know something, or that we believe we can do something, that we believe we can take a step forward and make ourselves create something we've never created before. By definition, that is the creative act. That is the significant thing we do as creative artists, is push ourselves into the unknown to create something we've never created before. We use the knowledge we have, we use the experience we have, we use every outside resource possible to figure out how to do that. If I wanted to learn to sculpt, I would go talk to my friend Ray, or I would go talk to Jan, or I would go talk to somebody who's actually sculpted before and start to acquire information there. As long as I didn't steal one of the sculptures out of their studio and claim it as my own, I'm learning in that process. I'm exploring in that process. And I think that's really a turn for a lot of us, in dealing with this idea of, am I good enough? Because at the end of the day, what the fraud question ultimately is about, if you haven't actually committed fraud and stolen somebody's objects, it's, am I as good as I think I am? Or am I good enough to even attempt to do something? Creativity and in photography, it is always about, can I do something and try to push that envelope? The worst that will happen is a ton of learning and the photo doesn't come out as you expect, or the project doesn't come out as you expect. That's the worst that's going to happen. But it's that ability to say, in the absence of truly knowing if I can do something, my willingness to do it is the push forward. It is the thing that lets us be what we are. Because even if you're the greatest portrait photographer ever, and you've shot a million portraits, until that person is sitting across from you with your lens and is sitting across from you with the lights, you don't know ultimately what's going to happen. Now, experience may tell you you've done this 100,000 times, but you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the power goes out. Maybe the person shows up and they've been in a car accident and you were expecting one type of photograph and you have to do another because their face is all bloody and bruised. Who knows? But you don't ever know until it gets in front of the camera and in front of the lens. And that experience, I think, is really important in letting you explore those options of your creativity, of your creative practice, of your photography. And it's the experience that keeps you from being a fraud. The true fraud would be saying, in absence of the ability, known ability to do something, in absence of the ability to attempt something, I'm not going to pick up my camera. I'm not going to go out and shoot a photograph. I'm not going to make a photograph, because that's the true fraud. If we go back to that original definition, a person or thing intended to deceive others, typically by unjustifiably claiming or being credited with accomplishments or quality. If you say, I'm not able to do something, because you're unwilling to try, because you're unwilling to explore that avenue for fear of failure or for fear of something else, you are the person who is deceiving yourself by unjustifiably claiming that you can't do something. You've stood in the space of not knowing and made the decision that you can't do it. And that's the true fraud. So I'd encourage you this week to step up into that space of trying to figure out, where do you feel like there's a fraud in your life? Where do you feel like you are a fraud in some regard? Like I said, in my own space, it comes up all the time. And I discovered this because of my going back and relearning some stuff last week. I thought that I knew, but I really didn't. Did that make me a fraud as an educator, as a photographer, as a Photoshop person? Or did that just mean that was something that wasn't in my head? I had to process that information. So I would encourage you to go back and think about the places and times in your own photography and in your creative practice where you have felt like a fraud, like you're stepping out on a limb farther than you should be, and really analyze what actually happened at that point. What was going on there? And I think what you'll find in most cases is that you were really pushing your creativity, you were pushing your photography, you were growing in a significant way. And that's really what the creative practice is about. I hope that as you think about whatever issues and fraud you came up with, or whatever hot buttons you have in your own creative practice, that they're able to move you forward this week. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes or the Google Play Store and give us a rating up there. We'd really appreciate that. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.